Good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us here today. We're in the middle of a series called Jonah. We've been looking at the life of Jonah and discovering how the principles in his life and written in this book so clearly can apply to our lives. You know, beginning with the fact that the reality is God desires to do a miracle through all of us. He wants to use you, whether you believe it or not, whether you can even comprehend it. God wants to use you. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. But the reality is we're humans, and there's a little bit of rebellion inside of all of us because we all make our own choices. We make mistakes. We do things right. We do things wrong. And what happens is, you know what? When we make those wrong decisions, there's often consequences that follow. But yet, here's the most beautiful thing about this book. God is a God of second chances. He loves to extend grace to his people. In the first week, we looked at how there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us, right? There's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. We all go through moments in life where we rebel, we do things wrong, things we wish we would not have done, or vice versa, whatever it may be. And we see the consequences, we go through it, and we've all faced it. But yet God still wants to give us a second chance. Last week, we looked at Jonah's prayer. We looked at what happens when you say, you know what, God, I'm going to release all that I've dealt with, all that I have, even though I've not been perfect, I've screwed up, I've messed up, I'm going to release it and give it back to you. I want to say, I didn't know if I mentioned this, if you want to follow along in the YouVersion app today, there is a events tab. You have the events tab, and you'll have all the notes there for you as well. But so we've been walking through this process, kind of looking at his life. And today, we're going to look at Jonah's obedience. Jonah's obedience. What happens when you choose to obey what God has called you to do? And we're going to look at the principles of obedience and how this applies to our life. But as we said, all of us struggle with obedience at some point or another, right? At some point or another, all of us struggle with obedience, and we need help. We need somebody to correct us, somebody to something to walk in that regard. And this is what we've been looking at. And so here we are at Jonah chapter 3, where Jonah is saying, okay, now is the time. I am ready. I'm going to follow what God wants me to do. So let's look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Let's walk through this. It says this: the Lord spoke to Jonah, what does it say? A second time. Anybody say amen to that? You know, I was talking to some people this morning. There's an old DC Talk song. You know, if you may remember the real Christian rap group, our kids have gotten back into the old 80s and 90s music, you know, so we've been listening to the old DC Talk. And one of the songs they have on there, I love it, says, some people have to learn the hard way. I'm the kind of guy that's got to find out for myself. Anybody remember that? I've had to learn the hard way. Some of you are saying, I don't know the song, but I've lived it, right? You know, it's like, that's been my life so many times. I'm like, yes, Lord, that's me. You know, because sometimes we just learn through the lessons of hard knocks. But yet God will speak a second time. Now, when you look at this, the word second time in the Hebrew is the word Shanai. Now, I want you to catch this for a minute. It's the word Shanai. And it means the word of the Lord came to Jonah, Shanai. It came a second time, or it came again. Now, this is huge, because it's saying that even though Jonah messed up, even though Jonah went his own way, because when you look at it, let me just recap for some of you that missed it. When God spoke to Jonah to go to Nineveh, he said, absolutely not. I'm not going to Nineveh. There's no way. Those people are brutal. They were barbarians, and history proves that it was true. So Jonah gets on a boat, and he goes to Tarshish. Here's the catch. Tarshish is 2,500 miles away. Tarshish is a year's journey on a boat. So Jonah didn't just say, I'm going to leave. He said, Lord, I'm going opposite of what you want, like as far as I can get. And yet through that, God speaks to Jonah. The process happens. Jonah gets thrown overseas. He could have drowned there, but yet God still swallows with a fish. If that's a good thing, it happened. And then he gets swallowed with a fish. But in 3 days, when he repents, he's spit up on shore. And where does God say go? A second time he speaks to him. And that second time means Shanai. Now, growing up, I was the king of do-overs. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody else doing this? Like, if it didn't work right, do-over, like, do-over. Like, we would play pickup basketball, and the shot was wrong. Wait, I didn't mean that. You know, it slipped out of my hand. You know, I had some great rationale, or you could change the rules just a little bit to fit where you were. Now, here's the reality with that. That does not bode well with friends, right? And you always have that one friend who is like the rule follower. Like, they might as well put on a zebra shirt and just call themselves the rep, because they want to call every single thing. You're like, come on, dude. Like, when we played, and I'm primarily in a football player, so when we played basketball, we played football, basketball. Anybody understand that? You know, you just lower your shoulder, run them over, it doesn't matter, if, as long as you get the ball in the hoop. And so we would, if it didn't go right, though, you'd always use do over. But yet that doesn't work well within friends, does it? Because then your friends begin to get a little frustrated. They get a little irritated, saying, hey, hold up, no. This is the rules, and you can't continue to always do a do-over. But yet, we like do-overs, don't we? We like it when it didn't go well. Matter of fact, there's nothing like playing a good game of golf and you take a mulligan the next shot, right? That putt always goes in. You know, why wait? Let's just put that mulligan right in, and we'll make speed this process up. We like the second chances. We like do-overs. And here's the reality, though. If you don't have rules and you simply play with do-overs, you'll never accomplish the purpose of the game, will you? And everybody around you is going to be ticked that you're the do-over king. You know, they're not going to like being around you, because we need order and we need structure, yet we like second chances. Just as that is true in our lives, it's true in God's way. You see, God is a God of justice and obedience. He's a God of justice and obedience, but yet he extends grace when we fall short. He extends grace when we fall short. He extends that grace to us. You know, we think that, oh, well, God's just a God of second chances always, and there is no rules. That's not true. Think about this for a moment. If God was not a God of justice and obedience, why would we need grace? You don't need grace. Do what you want. There is no rules. The reason we have grace is because he has a plan and he has a design, and he asks that we follow. That's why we hear things like Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll obey my commandments. He tells us that. It's why we read in Scripture where God says, be holy, for I am holy. You see, God wants there to be order. He wants there to be structure. But you know what he knows? We're created with a free will. And because we're created with a free will, we will mess up. So he extends that shenai. He extends that second chance, that second opportunity to say, you know what? It's going to be okay. Romans 3:23 verses and 24, it says this: for everyone has sinned. What does everyone mean? Everyone, right? It's not, there's no trick to that. Everybody sitting in here, everybody on the face of this earth, everybody who's ever lived, we sin. We mess up. It said, and have fallen short of God's glorious standard. Yet, don't you love the but? It's good when it's for you, right? It's not good when someone says, but, you know, but when it's going for you, it's a good thing. He says, but God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus, who freed us from the penalty of our sins by dying on the cross for us. And when you look at this, it makes so much sense. It's very much like a child. If you are a child, you'll learn this in the future. If you are a parent, you know this very well. Or if you've ever worked with children, you know this very well. When you correct a child, you have an order, you have structure. We have things where we want them to behave, amen, right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm not going to spoil my child, amen. That's what we're thinking. Come on now. We're going to do this right. We're going to teach them right. We have rules. We're going to at least, you know, like my mom always said, fake it till you make it, buddy. If you don't think you act right, you better act right. Make everybody think you have good manners. You know what I'm saying? Like, they try their best to make you understand you have to act a certain way. We want that for our children. But our children are going to mess up. We correct them. We go through that process and we correct them. But the reality is, they still have to learn. You don't just say, well, whatever you want to do, just go ahead and do it. It's all going to be good. You know, it's just, we're just in a graceful environment here in our home. You know, you just whatever you say, honey. Uh-uh. If you do, that's called chaos, isn't it? It's pandemonium. Does that mean that your children are always going to obey you 100% of the time? Yeah, I thought I'd have a bigger no than that. I mean, come on now. It doesn't happen, does it? Because they're people. They're humans. And you can require, you can ask, you can do everything you want, and inevitably they're going to do their own thing. Why? Because they're discovering that boundary. They're discovering what it means to grow and develop and learn. And there has to be correction in that. You have to have a set of rules. Many of you have rules in your house. You don't have them on the wall, but you got rules. You know what I'm saying? You know what they are. They're rules. You have to follow these rules. Why? Because it creates a structure. In the Word of God, God gives us, He gives us His expectations. He tells us how we should live. And oftentimes we look at the Word of God of what we cannot do. But can I tell you that God's more concerned with what you do than what you cannot do? Think about it. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, the greatest commandment of all is what? He said, love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the great commandment. The greatest one. He didn't say what you can. He didn't say, the greatest thing is here's what you can't do. He said, here's the greatest thing. Just love God. Put Him first. And put others first. And when you do, you know what? You're on the right track. God has a design. He is a God of justice. He is a God of obedience. But thank God He gives us a second chance. We refer to it oftentimes as grace. But let me tell you something. I've said it many times before. Grace is not a license to sin. No more than grace to your children is to say, you know what, I have no rules. Just do whatever you want and I don't care because I'm going to give you grace every time. It doesn't happen, does it? You've got to correct them. There has to be some form of correction. And so in our walk with Christ, it's very much as our walk as parents, it's very much as our walk in dealing with this different concepts. It falls in line the same. God wants to extend grace. He will extend grace. However, the grace is there because He has a desire for us to follow Him. And He's a God of justice and obedience. And you have to know that when you're learning obedience, and when you look at Jonah's obedience, the reason this takes place, why? Because God had just waited. Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. Jonah says, know what, Lord? No matter what. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm in the belly of whale, I'm kind of like that too. No matter what, Lord, You got me. I'm Yours. And the moment that happens, Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, God spits him out and He gives him a second chance. And it applies so much to us. And so that word there is Shinai. It's a second time. Look at verse 2. It says, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. Now, the word get up and go, that word right there in the Greek is actually the words kum and yalak. Now, kum and yalak, what these basically mean is to go now. Not just go, but go now. Go immediately. Go urgently. Everything you have, get up and move. It's God's way of saying, hey, it's time. Move. He didn't say, hey, if you feel like. He says, get up and go. Now, early on, I learned with my kids, when you're out, you know, you don't want to be that parent that's always like, hey, get over here, you know, because your kids run off. You've always seen that. So we came up with this little thing that I'll do. I'll snap. And when they hear that snap, all of a sudden it's like, whoop, boop, 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 boop. They start coming. Now, we learned this at an early age. This is funny because so one of my friends one day, he's like, dude, what is up with the snap? I said, well, I figured this is a whole lot better than, Eli, get over here, you know. And he hears that right now. He knows, like, oh, snap. He said, go. It's the, you know, so he would dub me. He says, dude, you got a thunder snap. And he snaps so loud. But here's the deal. Even yesterday, I'm out with the kids. We're walking. They're walking off. All of a sudden, boop, 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 boop. Here comes two boys running right to my side. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about, right? They hear the snap. They know what it means. It means get your tail in over here immediately or it's going to be consequences, right? You're going to follow this snap. Now listen, when God's saying get up and go, He's snapping. He's saying it's time. It's not when you feel like it. Go now. And so He's telling him, go now. Now, this is huge because, remember, Jonah, we just had two chapters where he wasn't too crazy about going. So He tells him to go. And then we see in verse 3, this time, have me say amen to this. This time, Jonah obeyed. You know, the belly of a whale thrown overseas, that can kind of get your attention. But this time, he said, I'm going to obey you, Lord. And he said, he went to the city of Nineveh. The city was so large, it took 3 days to see it all. Now, here's a little bit more information. For those of you that missed a couple weeks ago, the city of Nineveh was a city of sin. It was corruption, barbaric. I mean, the things they did, they were known across the region, if you study history, for being so barbaric, they would literally kill people, behead people. Everybody they went in, they just basically wanted to create a statement that would scare everybody. It is said that many times when they're going to take the Assyrians in the city of Nineveh, when they were going to attack a city, oftentimes people would even commit suicide because they did not want the treatment that would have from this group of people. So that's how nasty they were. The city itself was about 7.5 miles long and had a wall that surrounded it, the entire place. And they had about 120,000 people that lived in it. It was also a very, very influential city. So God speaks to Jonah. He says, go now. I'm giving you a second chance. Go now. And I want you to speak directly to these people. Now look in verse 4. It says, on the day that Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. What an awesome message, right? I mean, if you're Jonah, you're going, you want me to say, what? You know, here I am. I'm going to say this. So Jonah gets in there. Now, what's interesting about this, the word entered. The word entered is also translated to some started in some translations. But when Jonah started into the city, when he entered into the city, the Hebrew word there is chalabo. Chalabo. Now, here's what's interesting. This word literally means to untie or to loosen so that you can go. So God says, untie, unloosen, and go into the city and proclaim that 40 days from now, everything's going to be destroyed. And here's what Jonah is. Here's his task. Now, here's the principle you have to understand in understanding how it applies to your obedience. Sometimes you have to untie yourself, unravel yourself, and let go of everything so you can do what God calls you to do. Now, track with me for a moment. Sometimes I have to untie myself, my financial security, and obey him. Sometimes I have to untie myself of my reputation, untie myself of my control over my life. You see, to be obedient is to say, God, no matter what, even though the outcome may not be what I want, I'm going to obey you. Because you got to know, the moment God spoke to Jonah and said, go tell him in 40 days they're going to die. I mean, Jonah's probably thinking, really? Like, can we say something a little better? Because, I mean, like, they're going to kill me. Like, I'm done. You know, like, you don't go into a town like this and they're just going to destroy me. They're going to destroy me. But yet he says, no, go tell them. But look at verse 5. Look what happens. This is so cool. Verse 5. It says, the people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap for to show their sorrow. Now, they believed whose message? God's message. Isn't that interesting? They didn't even hear Jonah's message. God had prepared them. They heard God's message. Now, to put this into perspective, here's what's interesting. When I was studying this, looking at this, many people were trying to give an understanding of this city, what it's like. And in one commentary, he was talking about it was similar to like Vegas. All right. This is, you know, Vegas is known as what? The City of Lights. There's an old saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Even a fight, right, Don? Joke on a phone. No, anyway. If you want to know about that, I'll tell you later. It's really funny. Anyway, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is also known as what? Sin City. I mean, you've heard these things. So think of it like this. This is the Sin City. Go ahead and show it. This is Vegas. Okay? So imagine Vegas, this city strip, this lights, everything they have right there. I mean, the beautiful Vegas. Someone goes in and says, this is it. 40 days, it's all going to be destroyed. And everything shifts. Vegas turns off the lights and says, we're no longer casinos. We're all going to be churches and just seek for God and ask for his repentance. Kind of far-fetched, isn't it? That's what happened. They're in Nineveh. I mean, the absolute worst city that they could ever think of in the Assyrian Empire. And they're saying, guess what? We're all going to turn from God. And when God's message was delivered, everybody began to repent and say, and fast and say, Lord, have mercy on us. Now, Here's what's interesting. Your response to God's message will impact his response to you. Because when you respond, when God speaks to you and you say, Lord, I'm going to respond, I'm going to obey, even though I don't understand, even though it may not be what I want, guess what? God will hear you. And he's going to respond to you and your obedience. Because here it is, the city of Nineveh, they've screwed up. They are evil people. But because they're willing to repent, because they're willing to let go and say, it's not about me, I'm going to obey. Lord, please, we repent. Look what happens in verse 6. It trickles all the way down to the king. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes, dressed himself in burlap, and sat on a heap of ashes. The king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. So imagine the mayor making this happen. He says, no one, not even the animals from your herds or flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps, even yet, God will change his mind and hold back the fierce anger from destroying them. Now, let's think about this. He said, everybody in the city, he basically put a stop and said, everybody all stops. We're all turning to God right here. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. We're not going to eat. And we're not going to drink. Now, think about those two things. We're not going to eat and we're not going to drink. How well do you think that's going to go over? Not just us, but neither the animals. All right. Now, as adults, you might be able to handle it. Maybe, maybe not. But if you got kids, I mean, I don't know. My kids are starving all the time. You know, I'm starving. No, you're not starving. Yeah, I'm starving. No, it's not starvation. I promise. You know, you may be hungry, but it's not starvation. And they're not going to be quiet until they eat, right? But imagine this, all right? If you have the people, but even the animals. I don't know, you have an animal? I mean, like, they're going to eat. My dog, she's going to be like, bang. She's like banging that bowl until you get over there. Like, somebody going to come over here. I was reading, and it said, one of the commentaries, it was talking about the thought of, think about the cows. It said that a cow, after so many days, will just bellow and moo and just bellow nonstop until they're fed or have water. I mean, can you imagine the pandemonium that was going on in that city? Wow. But here's what. They heard God's message. And they obeyed. Were they deserving of a second time? No. But God gave what? A Shinai. He said, they're going to have a second chance. They're going to have another chance. Let them hear my message. See how they respond. And as we said, your response will directly impact God's response. Because God wants you to have great things. He wants you to be blessed. But in the same respect, he knows that sometimes we have to learn the hard way. And he allows us. He does not bring bad upon you. But he allows you to go through problems and situations so that you can see what's truly important in your life. And so here God is speaking to these people. But here's what you have to understand about the heart of God. Humility and repentance always move the heart of God. If you want to move the heart of God, you act in humility and you repent. Because we just read it, we all sin, we all mess up. But when you're humble and say, Lord, I got to have you, you know what? It gets God's attention. 2 Chronicles 7:14, when there was judgment coming up on the people of Israel, what did he say? He said, if my people who are called by my name and will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. Because humility and repentance, that moves his heart. And so to see this wicked city mourn, to see this wicked city say, Lord, I'm giving it all back to you, made a huge impact in their response that God gave. So look what God says. Look what it says in verse 10. It says, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. You see, here's what's so cool about this. The beginning of chapter 3, we see the obedience of Jonah. God gives him a second chance. He obeys. But then we see also the obedience of Nineveh. God spoke the message. He gave him a second chance. And then he obeyed. But what's interesting here is it says he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction. Do you think God would have done that? Well, it's a matter of, was he going to be just and right and obedience? Or is he just going to say, well, do whatever you want? If you don't have justice and obedience, you don't need grace. Grace is there because God asks us to live a life in following him. But grace is there because we're going to screw up at times. We're human. And I don't know about you, but I say thank God, and I think that's why they call it amazing grace. Because it truly is amazing. I don't deserve it, but yet he gives it. And here's the most beautiful thing today. No matter where you are on your journey, you know what? Maybe things are great. Maybe things aren't. But if you need grace, he's here. He's just waiting on you to say, you know what, Lord? I need you. I need you in my life. You know, Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Think about this for a moment. To walk in the valley, you've got to have a mountain on either side. To be in a deep valley, there's got to be a mountain on either side. And some of you right now may feel like you're in a valley, but God's speaking to your heart this morning saying, if you'll just obey me and turn to me and repent and say, God, I want you in my life. You know what? I want to bring you to that mountain. I want to help you. You know what's cool about Psalms 23? Is Psalms 23 is known as a valley chapter. Because Psalms 22, you see the prophecy of Jesus coming and dying on the cross for our sins. Psalms 23, you see the valley. Psalms 24, if you read it, you know what that is? That's speaking of Jesus' return. So you have Psalms 22, Psalms 24, and Psalms 23 right there in the middle, a valley chapter. And some of you may feel like death is all around you. But here's the thing. Death, it says, the valley of the what? Shadow of death. Death itself is not there. It's just simply a shadow. How many times are we afraid of our shadows? God wants to do great things through you. But God is a God of justice and obedience. And he requires that we repent and humbly come before him and say, Lord, I screwed up. I'm not perfect. But I'm going to ask you to help me. You know what he does? He says, come on. I'm going to give you help. That's the God we serve. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I want to sing Amazing Grace in just a minute. But before we do, I want to pray. And if you're here today and know what you're saying, you know what, dude, I'm going to tell you something. That's me. I'm in a valley right now. I feel like death's all around me and I'm tired and I'm weary. But I'm going to tell you something. God is here today saying, you know what? Turn to me. Trust me. I know you're tired. I know you're weary. But trust me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to see you through this storm. But you've got to make a choice. Maybe you're here today and you know what? You're not serving God. As we spoke earlier, God's coming soon. And if he came, you're not ready. But today the Lord's speaking, you're saying, hey, make it right. Make it right. Make it right. And if you do, guess what? God's going to come in. He's going to give you strength, peace, and he's going to help you in this difficult time. But it's a decision. It's a choice you have to make. And I want to give you that opportunity this morning with no one looking around. If you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I want to ask Christ into my heart. Or maybe you've accepted him in your heart, but you know what? Life has gotten in the way. And you've walked away and you want to rededicate your life to him today and say, Lord, today is a fresh start. I want to make a fresh start in you. With no one looking around, out of respect for others, if that's you this morning, I want you to make eye contact with me right now. I want to pray with you where you are. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? Amen.
Anybody else? Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? Amen. Listen, he's a God of second chances. His grace is extended to you today. There's nothing you've done that's too far. You may think, oh, you don't know. You know what? That's why it's amazing grace. You've not gone too far. There's nothing you've done that God will not welcome you home from. Anybody else? Praise God. Let's pray this morning. As we said earlier in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But we know Romans 10, he says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is Lord, then you are saved. So we're going to confess today. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you have accepted Christ, then just pray with us. Not to single anybody out, but let it be a reminder of what God's doing in your life. But let's all pray this together. And even if you didn't respond, you're welcome to join us and make this your prayer. Confess with your mouth and let God come in and help you today. But let's all pray. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. Take me into your arms. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen.